that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okay, so here we go. No more fill-ins. No more fill-ins. Who'd you have Monday, Jimmy? Shaughnessy? Shaughnessy did the show on Monday?
Shaughnessy.
Oh, that must have been a barrel full of monkeys with Shaughnessy here, huh?
I would have rather stuck needles in my eyes.
Can feel the adrenaline just oozing through the radio with Shaughnessy here.
He did have Carabas on the phone for out of the shoot.
Who is Tuesday? Tuesday was Murray?
Murray and Carabas.
Oh, that's pretty good. I'm okay with that. How about last night?
Rochi.
Oh, Rochi.
Everything is awesome.
Oozing the total opposite of Shaughnessy. You can feel the positivity oozing through the radio with Rochi here last night. All joking aside, thanks to all three of them for filling in this week. 617-779-0985 here on the Baseball Reporters. We will take your calls up until
Red Sox are ruined.
7 o'clock, as always. All things Red Sox, all things baseball here as we wrap up the All-Star break.
And just listen to what I have to say.
Get ready to head into the second half of the season with a four-game series that opens tomorrow night against the New York Yankees over at Fenway Park. Again, 617-779-0985 is your phone number. Here's where I want to start. Okay, here's where I want to start. We spent a lot of the day on the afternoon program on the pace of play. I want to talk about the Red Sox specifically here as they go into the second half. Yankees are in here for four games this weekend. Tim McCone is filling in for Murray tonight because Murray co-hosted. McCone, what do you expect of the Red Sox in the second half? Right now, they're 50-39. They're on pace for 91 wins. In your mind, is there any excuse for the Red Sox not winning the division?
No, absolutely not.
Be assertive, McCone. Be assertive.
You look at the other teams in the division, and there's no way they should lose this. You know, I don't think there's any team that has the talent they do on the roster, whether it's in the starting pitching staff or in the field that they do.
Jimmy Stewart?
I don't think the division is a lock at all. The Yankees are two games back in the loss column, five-game series coming up. I could very easily seeing the Yankees coming in here and leaving Fenway Park in first place.
Sweeping the series?
I didn't say sweep. I said leaving in first place.
Well, then how else are they going to do that if they're 3.5 back?
That's for them to figure out.
Okay. So Jimmy's actually saying that a sweep is in play this weekend against the Yankees.
I've seen it happen before.
Okay, so here's what I would tell you. The Red Sox are throwing their four best pitchers this weekend, right? Pomeranz, Sale, Porcello, and Price in the doubleheader on Sunday. And I am interested in seeing the Price game. I said this earlier. When I looked at it and Price wasn't in the rotation, I went, oh, interesting. But being the genius I am, I forgot that there's a doubleheader Sunday. So Price actually gets the night game. This is the makeup game from that first trip in, the Yankees made this season when they had a rainout and swept a two-game series here. If you think this series is not important and that it's still early, you're wrong. You're wrong. As Jimmy just pointed out, you're up 3.5. The Red Sox have the best team in the division. It took them a while to get there, but they have the best team in the division. Now they're up 3.5, and on top of it all, as Alex Speer pointed out today in the Globe, boy, the schedule really does favor them here the balance of the way. I mean, I have not yet touched on this part of it, and it's an excellent point by Alex Speer. The Red Sox had a tough schedule in the first half in terms of home road. So Speer writes, in many ways, it seemed appropriate that the Red Sox closed out the first half with a 10-game road trip. The team has now played 50 of its 89 contests on the road. That's 56%, by the way. Tied for the most road games of any team in the major leagues. Only the Chicago White Sox have spent a larger chunk of their schedule on the road, and the White Sox have played 57% of their schedule on the road. The Red Sox are at 56. If I'm not mistaken, the White Sox have the absolute worst record in the league. Is that still true? I know at one point they had the worst record in the American League. I believe they still do. And that should tell you something. Chicago had basically the same. Now, they have less talent than the Red Sox, but they're dead last. The Red Sox had a tough schedule in terms of home road, and they are first.
Only the Giants and the Phillies have less wins than the Chicago White Sox.
Okay, so Chicago's been a train wreck. Now, look, the Astros obviously have the best record in the American League, so I misspoke there. The Red Sox have the second best record. But they have spent a lot of time away from Fenway, and typically they have been good at Fenway Park. And this year, they have been good at Fenway Park. They're 25-14 at home, 641 winning percentage. And they have 42 of their final 73 games at Fenway, which, according to Spear, is the most home games the Red Sox have played over their final 73 since baseball went to a 162-game schedule, which is mind-blowing to me. When did that happen? That was like 50 years ago, right? I mean, so this really has been a historically lopsided schedule for the Red Sox in the first half of the season, maybe something we haven't spent enough attention on. If they continue on their current pace, meaning factoring in home and road, they're on pace to win in 93 games. They will finish the season 93-69, which would tie their record from a year ago. To me, 93-69 will be enough to win the division. I still think they should commit a little higher than that. I thought this team had anywhere, 94-95 win capability, and I know that that is splitting hairs. When you get to that stage, at the end of the day, what difference does it really make if you finish with 93 wins or 95, so long as you win the division? And I would tell you that I'll take every win you can to get every game at Fenway Park you can, especially if this team is playing 650 ball at home and or 640 ball at home and 500 on the road. With this team this year, and we were wrong about this last year, home road will matter. Home road will matter. It mattered last year. They got behind against the Indians on the road. Cleveland was much better at home, and it hurt them. Cleveland ultimately got to the World Series and almost won it. So that's where we're going to start. 617-779-0985. We'll go right to the phones here. I want to get to a couple of other things later in the show. Pablo Sandoval's fate will be decided here in coming days. And pace of play in Major League Baseball, which is something we touched on here in the afternoon show. I want to give you some data, some stats on both pace of play and Red Sox TV ratings in the first half of the season as they compare with the rest of Major League Baseball. But Dan is in Gloucester. Dan, what do you got?
Hey, Maz, I just wanted to quickly point out a couple things you guys were talking about earlier. One, Poppy was a once-in-a-lifetime player, so to expect to replace his personality is, just not realistic. And two, in terms of the young guys needing to have personalities, Derek Jeter had no personality and people were obsessed with him. Now, granted, he won some World Series in the early part of his career, but I just don't think that these young guys need to have outlandish personalities to be interesting. If they play well, people are going to love them.
Okay. So Dan, this gets to the winning part of it. And again, Dustin Pedroia to me is a little like Derek Jeter, if you wanted to go down that road. Jeter was a better player than Pedroia, but it's a reasonable comp. I just don't think that Pedroia is the face of the franchise. He's got a couple of rings. Terrific. Jeter had what, five? Did he finish with five? And so I think it's a little different. I also think that the Yankees in those days had there was a real star quality to those Yankees teams beyond Jeter. And I think the Red Sox lack something when it comes to sex appeal, for lack of a better term. There's something missing there. I'm not telling you it's the number one reason why ratings are down 20%. I'm just telling you it's part of it. So if you wanted to say overall that baseball has a problem and that baseball ratings are down overall, absolutely true. I gave you some numbers earlier in the day. That national broadcasts in baseball across the board are down about 8% on average. From ESPN to the Fox Network, they vary from 6 to 10% if you throw the MLB Network in there too. Anywhere from 6 to 10%, so we split the difference and call it 8. The Red Sox are almost 20% lower their TV ratings than a year ago. That's purely because of, again, if you compare it just against the rest of baseball, it doesn't add up. And I'm not looking for anybody to replace David Ortiz. Unique character. Can we just find something close? How about half of David Ortiz? And I'll ask you the same question I've asked earlier. Have you ever seen Mookie Betts mad? Have you ever seen Pedroia is the wrong answer, wrong question. Have you ever seen Jackie Bradley mad? Bogarts, Benintendi. Have you ever seen any real sort of insight as to what makes them tick, to what their person? Do you feel any real connection to them as a fan? Or as a person, do you know anything about them? Because I think it's part of it. Part of it. I didn't say the whole thing. Just a part of it. The third base situation with the Red Sox, if you listen to this show, you know how I feel about it. I want to touch on third base. The Red Sox made a move today at third base. It's not a totally unexpected or surprising one. and it's not one that'll really get you to raise your eyebrows. But we'll tell you what that was, and we'll tell you what the next one should be when we come back.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com.
Most amazing baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the pitch is swung on and hit in the air to deep right field. Back goes Betts. He's on the track. He's at the wall. She's gone. So he celebrates his birthday with a two-run home run the opposite way to right field. He is judge and jury. And this is Judgment Day. And the left-hander Sale ready to go to work. Pitch has swung on and line to left field. There's a base hit toward the line. It goes past Benintendi to the wall. One run scores. On to third, Headley. And on to second, Holiday.
There goes Chris Sale as John Fell comes out.
Swung on and into the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Carter hits it harder. Hit in the air to deep left center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. It's a three-run home run. The Sanchino. The pitch is swung on. Hit in the air to right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Another home run for Gary Sanchez. This one a two-run blast in right center. The Sanchino. Oh, that Gary is scary. It's a two-run bomb to right center. And the Yankees have a 6-1 lead.
All right, so now he's 5-for-8 off of David Price, and every hit is a home run.
So this is another thing to consider as the Yankees come into town. And again, series starts tomorrow. It's a four-gamer. Doubleheader on Sunday. One during the day and then the night game, the ESPN night game. So four games total. Red Sox and the Yankees have played five times this year. The Yankees have won four of them. The Red Sox only win was a 5-4 game in New York. If you remember, that's a game Kimbrel came in the eighth inning. In fact, I think it's the last game that Kimbrel pitched in the eighth inning. He hasn't pitched in the eighth since. The Red Sox held on. I want to say Kimbrel got four outs that night and had five strikeouts. Does that sound right? Something like that. But the Yankees, dare I say, have owned you. They won the first two games here, 3-1. They lost 5-4, and then they beat the Red Sox 8-0 and 9-1. The Red Sox have been held to 0 or 1 run in four of the five games against New York, and they've lost 4 or 5. So be nice for the Red Sox to put their foot down on the Yankees this weekend. A, let them know that they can beat them, and B, put a dent in New York a little bit. You win 3 out of 4, you knock them back 2 more games, they're 5.5 out, big difference. As opposed to losing 3 out of 4, and then all of a sudden they're 1.5 games, huge swing. A split obviously favors the Red Sox. But you're the better team, you're at home, and they've beaten you 4 out of 5. To me, it feels like an opportunity for the Red Sox to really dig in, make a statement, take command of the division. Make it clear to everybody who the best team in the American League East is heading into the final 2 months of the year. Remember, the trading deadline's coming up. You're only a couple of weeks out from that. The Yankees come in here, have a good series, and then get Gerrit Cole or something of the like, and you're in for a dogfight. Back to the phones. Andrew's in Peabody. Go.
Hey, Tony. How are you?
Good.
Hey, so I want to talk about third base. So I know you're pretty content on having them stay pat at third base right now. I know there's rumors around going out and getting Martin Prado, but I'm not for that. I don't want to see the pick on that money, even if they get that reliever there in the deal. So it brings me to Rafael Devers. I know, Dombrowski doesn't really want to bring him up right now, and I know he's raking down at Double A. I think he's got, 18 home runs, batting 300. I mean, I don't understand how a guy like, Zhuwei Lin can skip Double A to make it to the bigs, and they want to keep this guy down in Double A when he's just, he's hot as hell. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like, they got to bring him up, and I think it could be a good boost for us.
Okay, so Andrew, Lin came up from Double A. He didn't skip Double A. And the answer to your question is that Lin can play defense. So look, they were desperate, and he was having a good year offensively, better than any year he's ever had in the minor leagues by a long shot. And they took a gamble and said, we'll see if he can replicate it at the big league level. At the very least, we'll get good defense and he won't hurt us. As it's turned out, he's been a plus, as has Marrero in the platoon. They're actually a nice fit together. Lynn can hit the right-handers. Marrero hits the lefties. They both play representative defense. And again, to me, the best way I can describe it, you have functional big league players playing third base now. Even if they're hitting ninth, at least you can bunt. At least they can draw a walk. At least they can run the bases well. Sandoval can't do any of those. He doesn't play good defense. He doesn't control the bat. He's got terrible plate discipline. He can't run. So at least now you're getting fundamental things at that position. And I mentioned earlier before we went to break that there was a roster move made at third base today. Tim McCone, you want to repeat it? You want to tell everyone what happened today at third base?
Yeah, Johnny Peralta had 10 games with the Paw Sox. They have now released him, so he's out of the picture.
Does it say there what he batted down in Pawtucket? I know it was in the low 200s the last time I looked.
He was 8 of 40 down there.
So exactly 200. Okay, exactly 200. Peralta's done. Peralta's gone. It was worth the gamble. He was released by the Cardinals. He was out there, veteran guy, take a shot. But obviously the performance in St. Louis wasn't good, so fine. The question now is Sandoval. Sandoval, who's eligible to come off of his rehab stint this weekend. I think it's on Sunday. Sunday the 16th, I think, is the day he has to be called back. And so Sam Kennedy, the president of the Red Sox, apparently today did an interview with our competitors saying that there would be a decision on Sandoval coming in the next day or so. If you ask me, I don't bring him back. I have felt this way for a while. I hope the Red Sox don't bring him back. What a mistake that would be. You want to find some sort of happy medium? Come up with a phantom injury, leave him on the DL, and bury him somewhere. Do not bring him back into this clubhouse. Certainly don't bring him back into the dugout. Luke is in Haverhill.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's on Sandoval. I'm on the train with you. Get him out of here. However, in the fact that they do bring him up, I say you give him one ultimatum, and that's you got to perform at this style level, whether it's defensively, batting, you got to meet these expectations. I don't know if it's a batting average or like how many errors you make on the field, and if you don't do it with an X amount of time frame, get him the heck out of here because he's just a waste of space.
Yeah, so Luke, again, I feel like we've already been there. I mean, the last time he came up, the buzz coming out of the Red Sox was that this was it. You know, we played a cut for you, Dave O'Brien, when Sandoval came to bat in Chicago. And by the way, the only reason he came back up is because, if you remember, Pedroia got hurt, and they were short an infielder, and so they had to do something about it. So what did they do? They brought Sandoval back. That first game in Chicago, he got a couple of hits. Fine, no big deal. Terrific. But then he went south fast. And they sent him back down with a phantom injury. So right now, he's hitting .221 at Pawtucket overall. That's in 20 games. That includes the last rehab. It's not like he's hit down there. I mean, Pablo's exhausted all of his chances here. What the hell do you have to bring Pablo back for? I would rather keep him keep them the way they are. I'm okay with Lynn and Marrero, and I'm okay with them looking for bullpen help instead of third base help. You want to go get Pat Neshek from the Phillies, and that's one of the latest rumors? Fine. To me, I think that's how the Red Sox should use their resources. Do not bring Pablo back into the mix here. With him, every story is negative. Every storyline, every line of questioning is negative. Pablo's contract, Pablo's defense, Pablo can't hit left-handers. Pablo, you're going to keep Pablo on the bench? You're wasting a roster spot. What do you do with Pablo? Why waste the energy anymore? End it. Just end it. Chris is in Rhode Island.
Hey, Maz.
What do you got, Chris?
Well, usually you're a little too pessimistic for me, but this year, man, you're right on the money from the mid-season grades to the Sox, I think, you said lacking sex appeal. I think it goes a little more. The only time I felt a pulse from this team was that Houston series, where it kind of felt like a playoff game. And also when Pedroia hit that home run late in the game, I don't know if they won that game or not, and he was all fired up. And of course, when Sale pitches. But something else is missing, you're right. But it might, I don't know, we just... You kind of want to light a fire under their butts, you know?
So, look, Chris, I wonder what kind of damage. Look, the absence of Ortiz is obviously a factor. Okay, we all get that. But I Murray said this earlier, and I do wonder about it. What kind of damage that postseason did a year ago? So, look, we all like the young guys. We all like Betts. We all like Bogarts. We like Bradley. We like Benintendi. For the most part, they fell on their faces last October. They got swept. As it turned out, the Indians went to Game 7 of the World Series and almost came back and won the thing. And the Indians were a great story. It was a likable Cleveland team. But even Benintendi, who had a pretty good series overall against the Indians, he did fall asleep on a fly ball and allowed a catcher to tag up from first to second. So they had a dog October. Betts looked to me like he was tight. Bogarts didn't play well. Bradley was absolutely positively horrendous. So maybe that's it. Maybe there's not a belief there that they can ultimately win it. We'll have to see what it looks like, and maybe that has sort of taken away some of the appeal. Maybe you just think the season's too long. But again, relative to the rest of Major League Baseball, national ratings on ESPN, the MLB Network, and on Fox, basically down an average of 8%. Red Sox ratings are down 19. How do you explain that? How do you explain that other than to say the team is missing some sort of buzz factor that draws its own fan base to it? Steve's in North Kingston, Rhode Island. Steve, you there? All right. Well, Steve is snoozing. We'll put him on hold for a minute. We'll see what else we can come up with. Sarah is in Norwood. Sarah, what do you got?
So, Maz, you had talked about, you know, their home and away record in the first half of the season. And I'm just wondering if you can elaborate a little bit on the teams that they're playing in the second half. I know you said they have way more home games than usual, and, you know, you reiterated what Alex Spear had indicated in his article. But what teams are they playing in the second half, and who's really a concern for us?
Okay, so I'll tell you what, Sarah, excellent question. And we'll go over the particulars of the second half schedule, at least some of it. And I'm not going to give you a series-by-series, blow-by-blow, because that's going to put you to sleep.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the pitch is swung on, hit in the air to deep left center. It is high, it is far, it is gone. It's a three-run home run. The Sanchino. Oh, Gary is scary. He has a three-run blast to left, and the Yankees have a 4-0 lead.
So you get that matchup again on Sunday night. Gary Sanchez against David Price. So we were looking this up earlier. It's either 4 of 7 or 5 of 8, right? Sanchez against Price, and all the hits are home runs. So Sanchez will face Price again on Sunday night, presumably. And I can't imagine the Yankees would keep him out of the lineup with those matchup numbers. And then, so what happens? He hits a double and Price, like, breathes a sigh of relief. He belts one off the wall. The fans give Price an ovation if he gives up a double instead of a homer. I don't know that I've ever heard anything like that. Four for seven or 5 for 8 with just home runs. But you get to see that on Sunday night, too. Interesting series with the Yankees coming up. Both teams need it, albeit for different reasons. I think it was Sarah in Norwood was her name. Had a question about the schedule in the second half. So I reviewed it. I will give you the highlights here in just a second. But first, let's go back to the phone. Zach is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Zach.
Hi. I was calling because the ratings for the Red Sox, I think, you know, one of the main culprits is, because you guys talk about this with the NFL, the ratings being down last year, is just the younger generation isn't purchasing cable. So I think that's a driving factor now. I don't think it's the full 20%. I think Ortiz not being on the team has something to do with that. What do you think?
So, look, there's no question it's part of it, Zach. And again, we gave you the numbers across the board. In the various sports, when you look at TV ratings, across all of them, right? So, so again, I'll give you the baseball ones up front. ESPN games, and this is all compared to the previous season. ESPN right now, down 6%. MLB Network, down 8%. Fox is down 10%. So national viewership, national broadcasts of baseball, down basically 8%. The Red Sox are down 19% locally. But the national numbers for the other sports aren't great either. Hockey, compared to a year ago, this past season on NBC, down 20%. NBC Sports Network, compared to the previous year, down 12%. In the NBA, the national games on ABC, down 17%. On ESPN, they were down 5%. Even football, overall, an average of 8%, games were down. Primetime broadcasts were the most affected. Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football were down 12 and 10% respectively. Even the daytime games in the NFL. So that's Fox and CBS, mostly on Sunday, a couple of Saturdays mixed in there. 6 and 7%, they were down. So down everywhere, and there's no question. I mean, the viewership numbers across the board are down, probably because of cord cutting. So then my question becomes, okay, what about the 8% average in baseball versus the 19% with the Red Sox? What accounts for the other 11%? Why are the Red Sox down compared to the rest of Major League Baseball locally? What is it about this team this year that's accounting for that additional 11% drop? What? And I think it's, to me, part of it is the absence of a personality that you can really connect in or to, and that is the quote-unquote face of the franchise. Steve's in Medford.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I was going to say, you really stole the words right out of my mouth. I think it's just lack of personality, and MLB just not marketing these guys right, because I think you guys will agree with this, but who was the last guy to really take baseball by storm? It was Yasiel Puig, right?
Oh, and, I'm not sure even he qualifies.
Right, but I meant like when he first came up in that rookie year and like the type of run he had, like he was incredible. Everyone went on to see him. I mean, and now obviously it's like baseball sucked the life out of him, you know?
So, Steve, what about Aaron Judge?
Wait, say that again, Tony, I didn't hear you.
What about Aaron Judge? You don't think Aaron Judge has been a good story?
No, I think he's been a great story, but I just feel like in terms of like drawing the national media in, I just feel like Puig's run when he was in a rookie and how he kind of saved the Dodgers getting back to the playoffs, I feel like that's the one time that that's really captured the national media by storm. Don't get me wrong, like, I love Judge, and I think what he did in the Home Run Derby is great, but I'm not sure if it's the same. It's not the same there, maybe because it's just a one-time event, if that makes sense.
Well, so, Steve, look, I don't know what your obsession is with Yasiel Puig. I mean, don't get me wrong. He was a fun player there for a while. But, you're talking about him like he was Fernando Valenzuela or something, you know, 40 years ago, and I don't think he was that kind of guy. I mean, it was a fun story, but there were guys. Listen, baseball's not national like it was before. I've had this argument with my partner on the midday show or in the afternoon show. It's not the same. It's not the same here, and it's not the same anywhere. But I also think the game suffers from a lack of personality, and I think they know it. I think that's why they gave you that thing at the All-Star game the other night, where they're interviewing guys on the field, whether it be A-Rod walking around the infield or Joe Buck with Bryce Harper in right field. Harper is a guy that should have national appeal. He's probably the biggest star in baseball now in terms of a personality now. Mike Trout might be the best player. Harper has a bigger personality. And it's just not the same. And it may never be the same, which is fine. But again, just keep it to the Red Sox. We're in Boston. At the end of the day, all we really care about is the Red Sox. And the national ratings bear it out. How is it that the local TV ratings in Boston are down 19%, but the national broadcasts throughout the country are only down about 8%? So what is it about this Red Sox team that's created that gap or that void or that vacuum? And, you know, to me, it's either you don't believe in their ability to win in October or you haven't connected to them or both. Greg's in New Hampshire. Greg, go.
Yeah, man. I was wondering, you're talking about the 19% down the Red Sox this year to last year. But I was wondering, you know, because everybody's saying it's due to David Ortiz and, you know, his last season there, and that probably gave him a boost. So it's probably a better comparison for the year before last year. So I was wondering if you had those numbers. What are this year's ratings compared to last 2 years ago's rating?
So, Greg, I don't have them handy, but I think that they've basically steadily decreased every year for quite a bit now. And not I'm not saying a ton, but they've decreased. And even in 2013, I'm not sure that team that people really bought in and believed in the team until late in the year. I know I didn't. And again, a lot of you like to call up and chew my ass out because I didn't believe in that team until late in the year. I don't think I was alone. Those of you who are on board early, congratulations. Good for you. I'm sorry I'm more of a cynic than you are, but I am. And I'm a little bit cynical about this team. They have more talent than that team in 2013 did, and I would also say that they certainly have more homegrown talent than that team in 2013 did, and so there's a little bit more of a connection there. I like this team better, and I know that a good number of them will be back next year. But but there's still that belief that they're not good enough to win it all. I mean, this team, I guess, you know, in theory could win the World Series, but there were two what looked like juggernauts really in Major League Baseball. One is the Astros, the other one is the Dodgers. Some people want to put the Nationals in there. To me, that's an annual choke team. It's hard to do that. The Dodgers look like a freaking wagon, and so do the Astros. And if you were asking a lot of people in baseball, they would pick those two teams today. But we all know how the playoffs work, and in baseball, they can be a crapshoot. You get a hot pitcher, you get a Chris Sale, and everything changes. Let's switch to Dave, who's in a car. Dave, what do you got?
This Sandoval thing, to me, it's a done deal that he's gone. It's a worst case in the offseason, and really it would be a huge mistake to bring him anywhere near this team at all. The ceiling for him, his best case is that maybe he gives you a little more pop than who we currently got in there in Lynn, but then gives it right back on defense. So my question is, why wouldn't you have done this over the break when you can kind of just bury it without it being a distraction in the clubhouse and questions being asked? What are they waiting for?
Well, the answer is I don't know. I don't know what they're waiting for. I mean, there was no need to do it during the break. So certainly the Red Sox can weigh that, you know, just wait it out. I mean, there's every possibility they bring him back. But when you say that Sandoval might have more pop than Lynn, are you sure about that? Lynn's slugging .436. And I'm not saying that is anything all that great to write home about. Pablo's at .350. Lynn might not have raw power, but he can hit the ball to the gaps, and he has better raw power than I thought. He hit the bullpen wall in his third or fourth game with the Red Sox, which I was shocked by. So there's a little more pop there than you think there is. I think Sandoval's a zero. I think Sandoval gives him nothing all across the board. Zero. And so I don't know what the rush is to get Pablo Sandoval back. To me, and honestly, the whole vibe, the whole camaraderie of the team, the whole, and again, vibe is really the right word. Way better with Lynn in there than Sandoval. I want to get to the schedule here quickly because, again, I think it was Sarah from Norwood who asked about it. And so looking at the schedule here in the second half, the Red Sox have 73 games left. 41 of them are against teams with losing records. Now, remember, they have the second-best record in the American League. So they have the second-best record in the American League. They're going to play a ton of home games, and they have 41 teams on their schedule at losing records. Of the remaining teams, I mean, how many big series really are there? The Yankees ones count. They have the Yankees now. They go to New York shortly after the beginning of August, and then they have another trip to New York right at the beginning of September. That's it. That's the last you're going to see the Yankees. There is a trip back to Boston in August as well, too. You have four series left with New York. Houston comes in here in August, so that's the best team in the league. That's a real one. And you get a couple with Cleveland in there. Those are good, too. The rest of them? Who do you really say should beat the Red Sox? Minnesota? Tampa? To me, the Red Sox should win the majority of those series against all those other teams. The Yankees? Fine, you might be in for some games there. Houston, you're definitely in for some games. And Cleveland, you're in for games there too. Because you know that the Indians are better than their record. And, you know, maybe I'm giving Cleveland credit for something I'm not giving the Red Sox for, but that's a good team. But the rest of the series, all winnable. This division should be theirs. And look, I'm obviously taking for granted injuries and things of the like. But assuming health, they should win the division. In fact, they shouldn't give up the lead in the division the rest of the way. But it starts this weekend, and you have to put your foot on the Yankees, put it on their throats right away. New York has dominated you, but they've played like garbage for a month. And you're throwing your best pitchers in this series at home. You win 3 or 4, the Yankees are 5.5 back. You sweep, they're 7.5 back. You can do the math the other way around.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com.